North Rock Podcast.
We're going to transition now to our message, but before we do that, I just think that it's so important, just kind of piggybacking on the idea of baptism, why it's such a big deal is our lives are intended to be witnesses. They're intended to be to point to what we've seen and what we've heard in Jesus. And the best way we do that is through our own personal testimony, the story of our life and how our story is being found in Christ's story, his overarching story, what God is doing in the world that we couldn't do for ourselves. And so it's a great way to honor that. I want you to watch Rachel's story, a member of our church, someone who's been a part of our church for the last year, and she's going to share with you a little bit about what God has done in and through her, through you, North Rock Church.
I grew up in the concrete jungles of East Los Angeles, where it's really kill or be killed. Gang violence, turf wars constantly, lots of drug pushing. So I dropped out of high school my freshman year, just a couple months after I had started, actually. And I started running the streets with some of the neighborhood homeboys. My house quickly turned into really a dope house. My brother got caught up in drugs and selling drugs at school, and my parents were pretty hefty into him as well. After about a year or so, I met and fell in love with a pretty prominent gang member. I remember one year in particular, my dad and my boyfriend were busted on Christmas. And I remember that one year just feeling like there was no hope. My faith had run out. And I remember sitting with my mom and just crying together. The good thing about coming to a place where you feel just depleted of everything is that that's when God really has the opportunity to step in and to start filling you up. And that's exactly what he did. When my dad and him were finally released, they were clean and sober. And so that was really a pivotal moment in our story, because that was the moment where we had to decide what we were going to do with our lives. And so we made the decision to come out here to Colorado. I decided after a certain period of time living in Colorado that, you know, I really wanted to spend the rest of my life with this man. And so after two babies, we decided to get married. And I think we had the best intentions. But when you have two broken people and Jesus is not at the center, it really has very little chance of success. And I remember coming home after work, and I would sit in my car, and I would dread going inside the house where I knew my physical presence wasn't even going to be acknowledged, but I would quickly be recognized for whatever it was that I failed to do. And then the second blow came to our marriage, the blow of infidelity, and unfortunately, that was a blow that our marriage just could not withstand. When I came to North Rock about a year ago, I walked in here with a pretty significant limp. I still had very little hope that I would ever have joy and peace in my life, but I always held on to the promise that God's got to be bigger than all this and so much better. I'm sure I don't feel it, but I'm trying to hold on to that promise as best as I can. There are people here who have loved me back to life, who have really been a really true expression, a genuine expression of God's love, his relentless pursuit of me. Even when I felt like I was dying inside, there is hope, because I chose to fix my eyes on him and to hold on to his promises. And that was the hope that I needed, the encouragement that I needed to keep going, that really, really resurrected the life in me, the joy in me. I now have a peace and a joy in my life, even through everything that I've been through, even through walking through a divorce. It just doesn't make sense, but that's how good God is.
Well, good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Yeah. How many of you guys know it's Easter Sunday? It's Easter Sunday. The house is packed out. I mean, when Pastor Andrew starts to tear up during announcements and offering because of the way we're worshiping, that's just awesome. Yeah, and I just wanted to take a quick moment and acknowledge Rachel. I think Rachel's in here today. Rachel, thank you for your courage and sharing your story and helping us see how Jesus is active and alive in your life. So thank you for that. Yeah, so I get the privilege of kind of coming in after it feels like we've already kind of had church this morning, right? I mean, everybody's already worshiped. Everybody's already been inspired. The place is filled with tears in our eyes. And then I get the privilege of coming and talking about what this weekend is all about. What this idea of Jesus not just being risen from the text of what we read in Mark chapter 6, or excuse me, chapter 16, but what we read and what we feel and what we experience. Because from the moment that Jesus stepped foot out of that tomb, from the moment that he walked out of that grave, from the moment he burst and leapt on the scene of history, he has been showing up in people's lives just like Rachel, just like me, just like a whole bunch of you that are sitting out here today. And so today as we sit here at Easter, there's kind of a tradition in churches where we take the time and we try to find and show you a historical narrative that kind of lines up the events of what happened 2,000 years ago with Jesus and his resurrection, the tomb, and the whole story of, the angel going and meeting the women, and the tomb being opened and the rock being slid away. And I just thought today what I'm experiencing, what we're seeing being done, is Jesus revealing himself. That's what he's done ever since he came out of that grave. Ever since that day where that fateful weekend when Jesus went to the cross to pay for all of mankind's sin, mine, yours, and anybody who would turn and repent to him, to the moment that he exploded back into the scene through that empty tomb. If you guys didn't catch it, in the worship, Mark chapter 16, this is the verse that we're focusing on today. It says that you've come here looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He was crucified. He is risen from the dead. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you. The good news of Easter Sunday is that Jesus is still going on ahead of you. That he is here, he is moving forward, and as we all engage in worshiping him here today, if we were all honest, we would say we're all at different places in our journey with Jesus right now. We'd recognize that the power in the moment of Jesus being resurrected from the grave is revealed in resurrection life in you and in me. It's that witnessing idea. So the question that I want us to wrestle with today as we talk about a few ways that Jesus reveals himself to us, still here some 2,000 years later, is this. How does this piece of history, this historical account of who Jesus is, show up in the here and now for you and I? How does it move from just history to his story for you and for me? Is that a good thing to spend some time on an Easter Sunday, church? Because here's what I'm learning. Here's what I'm understanding. Here's what I'm observing in the time and the space that we live, is that people have lots of faiths about lots of things, and we believe things about things that sometimes are true, sometimes aren't. You guys know what I'm talking about, is that we've kind of gone to an idea of believing or faith that's more the smorgasbord kind of an idea. I believe a little of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of something this, a little bit of something that. But what I want us to focus on this morning is, what does the Bible mean when it talks about having faith in Jesus? What does it mean to have risen faith or a resurrection faith? It's that we acknowledge and recognize the Friday night and we move through that Sunday morning when Jesus burst back onto the scene. But it's so much more than that. Because if we are going to be a people who really are those witnesses, who really do live for Jesus in our day-to-day lives, living miraculously mundane lives that give people glimpses, snapshots, photos of who Jesus is here and now, we've got to understand that this is a lot bigger than just history. It's a lot bigger than just the facts that are supported by history. It's a lot bigger than just having a third-party faith. You guys know what I mean by that? Right? I'm here because they drug me here, right? Don't look at them if they drug you here. It's okay. I'm glad they drug you here. We're happy that you're here. But if we're going to live naturally supernatural lives, we've got to be a people who hold that faith for ourselves. And not just an idea about who he was, but that we recognize that my story starts here And it ends with that tomb opening up and Jesus bursting back onto the scene, right? See, the purpose of Jesus being resurrected from the life wasn't just a gigantic magic trick. It wasn't like, ta-da! All right, now go on your merry way. It was so that he could go on before us, giving us the very life that he intended for us to live and to have in creation from the very beginnings, right? He didn't resurrect from the grave simply to put an exclamation point on the cross, though he did. He did it for our total transformation. He did it not just for information, but for total transformation in our lives. He has burst on the scene and he's gone ahead of us in the same way that he did for the women who went looking for him at the tomb. Do you guys ever get kind of, you know, I'm a little bit ADD, I'll admit it. Okay, and then when I'm reading the scripture, sometimes I start thinking about, well, I wonder why they did that. And then, wow, I wonder what the context was of that and those kind of things. So for these ladies that we read about in Mark chapter 16 to show up, ready to anoint Jesus' body for burial, ready to prepare him to go in the grave after he's been with them, after he's taught them everything that the scriptures said about him, everything that the Old Testament pointed towards with him, and Jesus had to send an angel there to meet them and say, hey, he's not here. You're in the wrong place. It's the wrong location. He's gone on ahead of you. So go ahead and tell somebody about what Jesus is doing. So what does that look like in our lives? I think the best way for us to kind of learn from it is to look back into the scriptures. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. We're going to read the account of where Jesus went once that stone was rolled away and he left. He went to the disciples, and here is an account of them engaging him for the first time when he revealed himself to them after he come up from the grave, okay? So let's pray and let's read this. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that when it comes to this idea of risen faith or having faith and hope in this world, Lord, that it's not unfounded, that it's not something that's just placed in some good teaching or a good book or a good way of living, Lord. It's placed in resurrection life. It's placed in you as our Savior, our Lord, and the one who came up from the grave to make sure that we could live fully alive lives. Help us to hear your word. Help us to see what you're speaking to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 24, I'm going to read it really quickly because we've got all kinds of power-packed stuff in this service, and I want to get you out of here on time. That's my commitment. So in verse 36, it says, "And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be to you," he said. But the whole group was startled and afraid, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate as they watched. In verse 44, it goes on to say that then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you about everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms that must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. And it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations. Beginning in Jerusalem, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all of these things." There's that word witness, right? In verse 49, my favorite part of the whole text, because it tells us again, it's not just about the forgiveness of sin, but the life that he is giving to us. It says, "And now I will send you the Holy Spirit, just as the Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So a couple of things stand out to me from this text of Jesus revealing himself. You guys know the way that we enter a room tells us something about who we are, doesn't it? And most of us, before we came here to church, we thought about what we were going to wear. When we go to an event, we think about what we're going to wear. And this gives us an insight to Jesus showing up to his disciples for the first time post-grave after the resurrection. And so here's what stands out to me from the story. The first is simply this: the risen faith is revealed by Jesus over time patiently. Patiently. Do you guys hear that in the text? That he said, he went to him and he said, hey, go and do this. And then they were afraid and they froze. And so he came back again, right? And he tells them, hey, this is me. Don't worry about it. Touch me. Feel me. Understand that it's really me. That's really me. I'm here. I'm in your midst. And it says that they were afraid, right? That there's the, you can almost see like the light is starting to turn on for them. And as those scriptures unfolded, you see that they began to recognize who he was. But the good news to all of us here 2,000 years later is that we don't have to get it right on the first time he shows himself to us. Thank God for that, right? It's like he just keeps following me around, keeps revealing himself to me, keeps being patient and showing me the ways that he wants to interact and the ways that he wants to work through my life and in my life for the purposes of me living fully alive in him. Risen faith is revealed through patience. And throughout time, God has been patient in revealing himself to his humanity, to his creation. In fact, for those of you that like they're kind of the information folks that just want to study things out, one of the things about the event that we're celebrating here today is that there were over 44 Old Testament, so written about 6,000 years before Jesus shows up on the scene, 44 messianic prophecies about who this Jesus was and what he was going to do and what was going to transpire because of what he did. Now think about that just for a minute. How could that not be who it is that we're thinking of? If I told you to go out to the airport and pick up somebody and I give you 44 pieces of information about what that person was going to look like, what are the chances you walk up to that person and they go, nope, wasn't me. It's not me, right? No. No, that's the part of what I'm trying to remind us about is that this is well established. It's been established over a long, long, long time. And risen faith is established in resurrection life and not just in information and statistics and history, okay? So we see that Jesus shows up in time and space, and he shows up through the account of those who have gone before us, right? How many of you guys brought a Bible with you today or read your Bible in the recent days and weeks and months ahead? That's good. I like to see that. Hold them Bibles up high. Love it. So Jesus shows up to the women. He goes far out of his way to make sure that there's an angel sitting there waiting for him so that they don't stand there just bewildered going, he's not here, right? He shows up to the disciples. We just read about that. In the verses that we read from Luke chapter 24, it says that he was standing amongst them. He says, touch me. Shows them his hands and his feet. He eats with them. He reminds them what I told you and reminded you of what was written in the scriptures over and over and over. I love that in the text, he says, go and tell the disciples, and he says, and Peter. Because those of you that know the story, know that Peter denied Jesus, right? That he kind of sold him out. He kind of walked away from the whole thing. He said, this is getting too freaky, too weird, too hard for me. And so he denied him. And I love that Jesus went after him, that he restored him after Peter had failed him. That's the good news of the resurrection life, church. That's what Easter's all about. Jesus brings him back in. And then there's my favorite of the whole story of this first Jesus revealing himself to his disciples, where in the book of John, the Gospel of John, there's a guy named Thomas. You guys know we've kind of labeled him Doubting Thomas, right? And poor Thomas, man, he gets a bad rap in the Bible. But I can tell you, I'm a lot like Thomas. I'm one of those people that says, Lord, I want to get my hands on you. I want to understand what this life is all about. I want to walk in it. I want to live it out. I don't want to just learn about it. Does that make sense? That's what Thomas said. Thomas had these disciples all excited now that Jesus revealed himself to them. They're going, Thomas, you're not going to believe it. Jesus is really alive. He was not lying to us. He was serious. He was doing this thing. And he goes, nope, I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to believe you until I can stick my fingers in his wounds, until I can put my hands in his side. Good news for all of us here today is that doesn't intimidate Jesus one bit. He says, come on, bring it. I'm right here. Keep showing up. So faith, risen faith is revealed patiently. That's part of how Jesus does it. He continues to pursue them as we see in those stories, and he continues to pursue us as we see in Rachel's story and a few others that we're going to be talking about today. Good news is that he pursues us until this message becomes personalized, right? How many of you guys know that risen faith is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Not just some theories, not just some ideas, not just some good teachings. It's about real life relationship. And so for the rest of our service, I wanted to concentrate on three ways that Jesus shows up in this story and that he's willing to reveal himself personally to us. Okay? So the first one is simply this, that he shows up in our rescue, right? That's what the cross event was all about, is that he said, I have come that they may have life, that for those that will repent, there is forgiveness of sins. That's so good. When I think about God's redeeming act on my behalf and the benefits that I receive, or what we call in church quite a bit, grace, right? God's rewards at Christ's expense, that the life that he wanted, that he delivered to me, came directly from him. When I think about that, primarily, I think about it through the lens of my rescue. Because I'm not ashamed to stand on this stage on Easter morning and tell you, I need rescued from myself. I need rescued from the decisions of my life, from the life that I had prior to coming into a relationship with Jesus. The second way that I see him revealed personally in this text and in my own life and in Rachel's life, as we saw through the video, is in his restoration of our lives. That personal life shows itself through restoration. That as we begin to walk in relationship with him, he starts to put the pieces back together in the puzzles of our lives. He begins to restore the dreams that we once had. Come on, somebody. Anybody had Jesus restore a dream in your life? Anybody restore health, emotional strength? He continues and he continues and he continues to restore us. That's the relationship. That he's fully alive through the power of his Holy Spirit to rescue, to restore, and you know, even more importantly, in mind, to begin to resource us through his Holy Spirit. I like to think of this relationship kind of like some of my car buying experiences at the dealerships. How many of you guys have had an experience buying a car at a dealership, right? Yeah. I'm the guy that goes in there and I try to act like I know what I'm doing, right? And I just kind of walk in and, you know, you're kicking the tires on it and you're looking at the price and you're going, oh, yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? Is that a 2016, 2015? Yeah, I knew it, right? As sometimes in our relationship with Jesus, we kind of walk in like that, don't we? Thinking, I want to speak the language of the dealer. I want to speak the language of what those people are saying. But what I've found is that I don't know if it's my car until I sit down in that seat, until I turn that ignition on, until I put that seatbelt on and I hit the gas. That's when I find out if that's the car for me. And that's what the relationship that Jesus affords us. That's what risen faith is a chance to get in the driver's seat and to really test drive the life that Jesus affords us. How many of you guys remember the Volkswagen commercials, the sign and drive commercials? You guys remember that one? For those of you that haven't seen it, we're going to show it real quick, and then I'm going to come back up, and we're going to close the service out.
I'm going to dream about that steak.
I'm going to dream about that tiramisu.
What a night, huh? But can the test drive be over now? Head back to the dealership.
Oh, yeah. It's practically yours.
Sorry.
But we still need your signature. Volkswagen sign and drive is back.
I love that commercial because it reminds me that Jesus isn't afraid of us test driving the life that he's given us. But I also do see that commercial sometimes, and I ask myself, so I wonder if sometimes Jesus feels like the guy in the back seat there. Like, hey, can the test drive be over now? I mean, you know, I've done some stuff. We've engaged. I've revealed myself to you on numerous occasions. Can we kind of go back and sign this covenant? Can we kind of make a decision to kind of go all in? Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning on Easter? Yeah, that really it's about that, because the benefits, the promises, the life that he delivers through the power of his Holy Spirit comes on the other side of that tomb being opened up in our lives. That resurrection life is not just about what Jesus did in the physical, it's about what he does in us, in the spiritual and the physical in our lives, right? All right, pastor's starting to get heated up. He's starting to preach a little bit. Come on. In the resurrection, God is resourcing us. That it's about the life that he intends for us to live as much as it is about the sins that are forgiven on that cross. That's about the life that we live And it's about having the Holy Spirit's power available to guide us through the miraculously mundane existence that we all go through in this world. How many of you guys lost power this week in that storm, right? You know, I was a good sport for a while. You know, that snow hit, and I'm like, oh, this is fun, you guys, you know, and you're doing stuff with the kids, and, you know, you're using the candles, and Jody, God bless her, she's trying to heat soup with candles underneath. She is so creative and innovative and having so much fun. I'm going, babe, I'm pretty sure it'll come back on before we starve, and then we can just put it in the microwave and be done with this thing, right? But as time went on, we became more and more and more aware of the things that we don't even see as the luxuries of having power in our lives all the time. And the Holy Spirit started to quicken my heart and ask me that question. Said, Chad, do you think we're as aware when the power's off in our spiritual lives? Do we recognize that there's power for the things that I have for you, and that sometimes, if I were completely honest, I try to make my way through life, and I forget sometimes that I need that power. I need to reactivate. I need to refill, right? How many of you guys understand that filling of the Holy Spirit isn't a one-time-and-done experience? It's a daily resource, that Jesus shows up, and he reveals himself in our day-to-day lives as we go back to him for the power that we need. Naturally supernatural. That's what this next series is going to be all about, talking about how Jesus shows up in our lives. So I want, rather than tell you about why I think this power is true, I want to reveal it to you one more time through a story of God transforming a family's life that's a part of the group here at North Rock. So let's show that video, and that worship team's going to come up, and we're going to close.
Our marriage was really tested about 6 years ago.
Growing up, I just thought they were the perfect couple. You know, I thought they were the best couple that I've seen, and I wanted to be like them when I grew up. When it came to me that they did have problems, and I like kind of figured it out that they did, and I just asked my mom blank, I'm like, are you guys going to get a divorce? And she said she didn't know.
When our marriage was tested, I think I was at a point where I think I was calling it done. I didn't want to do anything. I wanted to give up.
I saw the darkness in my dad. I didn't want to be here anymore, and I just grew angry at God. I was so weak physically and mentally. I was admitted to the hospital because I was just so weak, and I didn't have a care in the world just to eat or anything.
I felt for the longest time that I should always be the one, the strongest for them, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually. But it turns out that I wasn't. And, you know, going through this race of life and trying to follow in Christ, my family has been the ones who have picked me up. So I don't think there's been a day that's gone by that they haven't prayed. That, to be honest, was my saving grace, you know, my family, my girls.
I knew that with God, anything and everything is possible, and everything can change.
I feel changed. I feel, you know, this movement inside that I can't explain. So the only answer to that is God.
Just seeing my dad grow into someone that I never thought he could be is just phenomenal. And just, I can see him. I can see God working through him.
When we see the resurrection, the story of Jesus, you know, when he raises up, that's kind of what we did together, is we rose up.
Inside me, there's always been this darkness or this unsettling feeling that I don't belong, and I don't feel that anymore. So I think that to me is what this day really means to me most is that I've risen, and I'm coming out. Coming alive.
If God can restore things for us and he can answer prayers, then I know he can do it for whoever is going through whatever test they're going through.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 through 20 says this, that if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins. And in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. But in verse 19, the story goes on. It says that if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we're more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But then in verse 20, he wraps up and he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So again, because he lives, we live. Because he shows up, we show up, right? See, the good news of the gospel is simply this, that Easter isn't about bad people becoming good. It's about dead people becoming alive. It's about Jesus' life and resurrection power flowing through us. So as we sing this next song, I want us to take a moment. I want us to reflect on what we've heard today. I want us to reflect on the different characters that we've seen in this story. And ask yourself this question, where am I this Easter Sunday? Amen. Let's worship the King, and then I'll come up and close the service. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the way that you reveal yourself to us. Thank you, Lord, that you patiently pursue us, that really you give us your life through both the rescue and a relationship with you that restores our very lives. Maybe today as we're standing here asking ourselves that question, where am I at this Easter? Is that type of faith the kind of faith that I'm walking in right now? Maybe you're here today and you identify with the story of the women at the tomb, where you've come back to church and you're looking for the last place you saw him. Maybe you're here today and you feel more like the disciples, where you know that he's been pursuing you, where you can feel that he's been chasing you down all throughout your life, making himself available through the relationships, through his word, and through his spirit. Maybe you're here today and you identify more with Peter. Peter is the one who walked away from it all. Peter is the one who said, I know what I'm supposed to believe, but I'm walking away from it right now. Or maybe we're here today and we're built a lot more like someone like Thomas, kind of the prove it type of people, right? Can I just encourage you, no matter where you find yourself today, that today Jesus is here to reveal himself to you, that he has pursued you, that his love for you has chased you down relentlessly, as we've been singing about, what we've been talking about. And all it takes on our behalf is the acknowledgement. Remember, we read that all it takes is for us to repent and be forgiven because of what Jesus has done on that cross. But the story doesn't end there. Story ends with his life being poured out in our lives. That he's gone ahead of you, that he met you here today. If that's you here today and you identify with one of those personalities, would you just stick your hand up in the air? And in doing so, we're not acknowledging ourselves to anybody except Jesus himself in saying, God, that's me. I identified myself in the story, and I know that you are revealing yourself to me today. Yeah, I see whole bunch of our hands up. God bless you. God bless you. Well, the greatest part of Easter Sunday for me is having the opportunity to invite people into a relationship with Jesus. And so we're gonna pray a prayer right now that we pray around here at North Rock every single week. Thank you, Lord, as he reveals his life to others. And after this prayer, we're going to ask you to just be dismissed. But you're free to come forward for prayer. If you pray this prayer for the very first time, I would love to meet you, get a chance to give you what we call a yes packet. It's got some tools in it to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. But whether we're praying this prayer for the very first time or we're praying it for whatever umpteenth time, it's a commitment. It's a reminder that the life that he's afforded us, that we are giving all of ourselves back to him for all that he's given to us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. This is in Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we give the Lord a clap offering for what he's doing in our hearts and lives? Thank you, Lord, for your life. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you for being here at North Rock. If we can pray for you about anything in your life, we've got a prayer team ready for that. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great Easter.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.